Hi there, and greetings to everyone seeking and hoping to find the true meaning of life, those sick and tired of this poisonous world whose soul and spirit are bleeding, and of the emptiness and futility of this materialistic civilization. Welcome to our radio show, The Way, The Truth, The Life. Welcome to our world of supreme love and immortality, where all human hopes are fulfilled. Welcome to the world of Orthodox Christian spirituality, a world now unknown to the West, which once had the key, but lost it a long time ago, the key that has an answer to every question. My name is monk Arsenije Jovanović. I live in the monastery of Ostrog, Montenegro. It is never too easy to talk on spiritual issues, especially when it has to be in foreign language, which is English to me. I apologize in advance for possible mistakes. However, I believe God will help me to say the word and you to understand it. So, let us embark on our waves. Good evening, dear listeners, dear brothers and sisters. Finally, I'm back again with you in this radio show called The Way, The Life, and The Truth. And lately, I really don't have many opportunities to be frequent in recording this series. And those who follow this work of mine can notice that very rarely now I broadcast this show, since lately, there are a lot of things going on in my life here in Monastery of Ostrog. Besides my work on radio, recently we founded and started with a very modest TV studio in our monastery called Ostrog TV Studio. And with a TV show where I'm the host called Ostrog Lighthouse, meaning that through this show, we are trying to give light, spiritual light, light of the meaning of life to this world around us. So, among all those duties, I'm trying to continue with this English radio show for our brothers and sisters and all the listeners all over the world who speak and understand English language, which is basically today's planetary language, language that everybody is supposed to speak or at least to understand. So this way I'm trying to convey to everybody all over the planet the message of what the Christianity really is, because we are witnesses, especially during the last 20th century, that Christianity as a religion, as a thought, as a philosophy, as a life diminishes slowly but surely. And it's very sad, since Christianity is the only answer on every question of this world. And in this world there are many, many questions, but the one is the most important and essential. And that is the question, what is the meaning of life? Of course, many religions, philosophies, teachings are talking about meaning of life, and they state that they have answer to the question, what is the meaning of life, and that they know what is the meaning of life. But unfortunately, we see, especially in today's world, that nobody sees and nobody understands what is really the meaning of life. And the Christianity, and to be more precise, Orthodox Christianity, which preserved the fullness of the truth and the purity of the teaching of the very Son of God, incarnate Jesus Christ, is kept in a perfect manner in original Christianity or so-called Orthodox Christianity. So now we are trying to continue this work on radio, but now in front of TV cameras, since today's world is absolutely directed towards TV screen, whether television or internet. So we are trying to go out in the world through our small and modest Orthodox Ostrog TV studio. And so far, we have only one TV show, Ostrog Lighthouse. So that's why I'm not going to be very often in opportunity to broadcast this English show, but I'll try to do my best. Of course, being aware that this is nothing spectacular or that I'm going to save the planet. But I believe if one soul finds the meaning of life and the answer of the important questions, it will be enough for me. So, as I said in my previous show, my life in the monastery of Visoki Dečani was getting close to its end in terms of being in Dečani, not in terms of my monasticism, of course. And I have realized that my life in the monastery of Visoki Dečani is over. And there was a strong urge in myself to go somewhere, to be more alone, more secluded, more alone and more together, more close to the creator of the universe through specific activity called noetic or mental prayer. But I still didn't know how to manage such important and not easy task, since I was living 12 years already in the monastery of Visoki Dečani, and it was not easy at all to break this bond and obedience to my bishop and to my abbot. It seemed to me at that time that it is going to be much harder with my abbot than with my bishop, since I was pretty much in charge of many things in the monastery. And to put it straight, I was important for the monastery. I was one of the oldest brothers in the monastery with many different important duties. And I knew that it is not going to go easy. But I remember years ago, before that, once I was on my trip to Mount Athos, Holy Mountain in Greece, Monastic Republic, and I was directed to one monk who used to live between monastery of Karakalu and Filotheu in the woods. He was hermit living alone, and he was Greek, but he used to live in Canada. He was intellectual, writing books, and of course he spoke fluent English, which was very important for me, since I do not speak Greek, or I understand some, but it's not enough for a spiritual conversation. So when I visited a friend of mine, brother in Christ, Father John, who is American, and whom I met in the monastery of St. Ikon of Zadonsk in Pennsylvania, near Scranton. There we met, and we lived together for about a year and a half of my life in that monastery, and we became good friends, and even more than that, brothers in Christ. So, as it is usual in life, after a certain period, I left and went to Kosovo, became member of the monastery of Visoki Dečani, and he also, in the search of deeper spiritual guidance, he went to Greece and settled finally in Holy Mountain, Mount Athos. And once I have received his letter from Athos, somehow he managed to know where I live, and this letter gave me a great joy, and so I was aware that he now lives in Mount Athos, in the monastery of Karakalu. So when I went there to look for spiritual counsels, and because at that time I was pretty much disturbed with my physical state, I had this neck spine surgery, and as I used to speak in my previous shows, it was a very hard period of my life. So I went there, and he told me, "You see, Father Arsenije, there is a very experienced monk, especially in secluded life. So go there and talk to him. His name was Father Damaskinos." So I went to see this father, and he helped me a lot. I'm not going to talk now on the whole spiritual conversation between two of us. But the one thing is that I told him at one moment, "You see, Father Damaskinos, the way you live," and I showed with my hand on his modest little hermitage house in the midst of this forest. "You see, Father Damaskinos, the life that you live is my dream." And he said, "Pater Arsenios, you should work that your dream comes true." And I said, "Well, yes, but it's not that easy. And I believe, I'm not sure, is this God's will or not?" And he told me one very wise counsel. He told me, "You see, Father Arsenios, sometimes we have to work and to explore, not to be passive and to just expect what is God's will, but to explore actively and to work on it and to search and to ask and to look and to knock and it will open to us. So what he meant? He meant that I just don't have to sit in the monastery waiting that God will take me for my ear and said, come with me, that he will lead me to some hermitage or to... No, you work on it. So I received this counsel very seriously, and I started to think where I should go, how should I manage this, how should I present this to my bishop and to my abbot. And I started to think about it and to pray about it, which is, of course, most important. And as it is usual with the Lord, you can never expect such a beautiful changes in our life when we are together with Christ, when we ask Him for guidance and for help, when we get close to Him. Once I remember, I knew that just across the border of Kosovo, in the state of Serbia, not far away from our monastery, just across the mountains, there was a monastery of Black River, Crna Reka, as it is said, as it is called in Serbian, Black River. And that in the mountains above, up in the mountains above the monastery of Crna Reka, there are a few hermitages, several huts where monks live. Not many of them. At that moment, only two of them. But that they are pretty much withdrawn. They don't like visitations and visitors. So I was thinking about it, but somehow I was always somehow imagining that I'm going to go back to Mount Athos, to Greece. Because it is really a paramount model of monastic life and how it is beautifully happens with the Lord. Once I received a phone call, and for my wondering, it was exactly one of those monks from the mountains, from one of those hermitages, Father Clement, and he told me, "Hello, Father Arsenius, bless." This is Father Clement. I said, "Oh, Father, very nice to hear you. I'm very surprised to hear you because I know you live up in the mountains." And yes, I know. And I know that he never receives anybody to be there or not even to stay overnight. Maybe sometimes to visit, but not everybody. Just that he chooses who is going to come there. Because, of course, I understand when you live in such a way of life, you don't need disturbances, especially worldly people who have very trivial conversations and things like that. So he told me, "You know why I gave you a call? You know, as I know, I am an iconographer, as you are." I said, "Yes, I know." And he said, "You know, but my iconography, my skill is not that good. I'm not satisfied with my painting skill. And if you agree, I would like you to come to stay with me for several days and to give me some lessons in iconography." And I said, "Father Clement, to tell you the truth, this is really, you delighted me with this proposal. And I will gladly do that. Of course, I just have to ask for the blessing." And I have received the blessing, although the blessing was to go to Belgrade to finish some duties. And it was a lucky moment because I didn't have to go with anybody else. I was alone driving our monastery van, going to Belgrade, finishing something and to get some church books, I think. Don't remember very well. It was, if I remember well, it was spring and the winter 2005. So, yes, I have to be honest. I didn't ask for blessing to go up in the mountains. Although I asked the blessing to go to the monastery of Black River. So when I went to Belgrade, finished my duties over there, and on my way back, I just stopped by and I made a detour towards monastery of Black River, and I went straight up there, of course by foot, because there is not even a road. Or if we can call that path, road, ravine, how it is called in English, I'm not really sure. It is the bulldozer went through that forest, I think, 25 years ago. And you can imagine what happened with this road that he made over there in the course of 25 years in terms of rains and snows and heavy weather up in the mountains. So up there to that region of that mountain where those hermitages were, only tractor can go or jeep. But jeep can go only when it is dry. So when it is rainy, even jeep cannot go up there because there is mud and just only with chains on tires. So I went there, I took some brushes and paints and a few books, and I went up there. So I was really delighted when I saw this beautiful, beautiful nature, intact nature, this wilderness over there. And there are no villages, there is nothing over there. It's just wolves and eagles and foxes and bears and wild boars. It is really beautiful. It is the point right in the triangle of Montenegro, Serbia, and Kosovo. And it is, the altitude is 1,300 meters. So it's pretty high and very harsh, actually, during the winter. But this was a very mild spring, and it was beautiful weather. So I stayed with my brother in Christ, Father Clement, the monk. So we had a very nice time. We worked every day on our painting issue. I was trying to convey to him this skill that I know, and at that time I was not an academic professor, but it was enough for him. But much more important thing that I found over there is that very place where I have finally realized what I'm thinking about, what I'm trying to, what I'm looking around, what I'm thinking to go to Greece or to who knows where. But here in my eparchy, not far away from my monastery of Visoki Dečani, not to be forced to leave my spiritual father, Bishop Artemius, I have everything that I'm looking for. So we spoke about that idea of mine, about my wish, my urge to leave the cenobitic common monastic life and to find a solitary place for me. And Father Clement said, oh, it would be, I would like you if you come, if we can live together here in this mountain, because there was another monk as well, not far away from him, maybe 50 minutes walk at the top of another hill. He was in some kind of low valley between two hills. On one hill there was another monk, and he said, you see, we are alone here, and if somebody else wants and is able to live in the solitude, it would be very important for all of us. And he told me, in these beautiful hours, in this solitude, in this beautiful mountain silence, among this tall, old forest trees with bird songs, bird singing. And he was telling me, because he was there already 5 years in the mountains, living alone. And he was telling me, it is one thing to read about it, and completely another to live this way of life. So he gave me, from his experience, many things, and he told me many important informations about solitary life, and my heart started to burn, really to burn, out of great desire to go there and to settle over there. So finally, and then of course I said, Father, I really am dying for to live in such a place, and that this is really beautiful. And then I said, well, do you know some nice good place where I could build my hermitage, my little house where I would live? And he said, let's go. And tomorrow morning we woke up early, we finished our prayer rule, and before we started to work with our paints, brushes, and on our easel, we went a little bit out, and we visited few spots that he thought that would be maybe good for me, but no one of those spots was really interesting to me. Then we went back, and then the other monk came down, because it was Sunday, and Father Clement was preparing a lunch. He was cooking, I think it was lentil soup or something like that. So with another father, I spoke about what I'm looking actually for. I told him that Father Clement showed me a few spots, but I was not really satisfied with them. And he said, I know a place for you. And he told me with such a sureness, how you say it in English, with such a freedom of being sure in his idea what I'm looking for, he said, let's go. So we went, and we went to another mountaintop. Hilltop, because we are already in the mountains. So there were two hills. On one hill there was hermitage, then down at the foot of this hill there was a hermitage of Father Clement, where we were sitting and working, painting. And then another hill, maybe also 20 minutes walk from there, there was a place, it was a top of the hill, where we went, and it was really, he was right, it was really a beautiful place. It was a top of the hill, and it was not at the very top of the hill, because the very top of the hill was 20 meters higher than that. And up there, there was a strong north wind blowing all the time. And only 20 meters lower, still on that top of the hill, there was a little platform, let's call it this way, maybe 100 square meters. Very, very, very nice, and very, very, very practical for building a house and for a living. And more than that, the sight was beautiful. All over. I was like on the roof of the world. It was beautiful. You could see hundreds of kilometers all around, far away, and the tops of the mountains all over, because it was all mountain region. From one side, you could see deep in Serbia, another, it was Montenegro, and the third was in a very, very, very far distance Macedonia. So it was very beautiful and majestic. So finally, I definitely made a decision, this is place for me. I fell in love with that place, and I was so excited. Like, I don't remember many events in my life that I was so excited about something. So finally, we went back to Father Clement, and it was my third day over there. And my departure get closer, approached. So I said, Fathers, thank you very much. And with your permission, and if you agree, I would like to go straight now to Bishop Artemius, to Kosovo, to Monastery of Gračanica, where his seat at that time was, and to ask him a blessing and the permission to leave Monastery of Visoki Dečani, to come here, to build a little house, and to become your neighbor and your brother in Christ in this beautiful wilderness, in this beautiful solitude. And they told me, Father Arsenius, we know you, we see that you long for this way of life, and we would be glad if you come here and become our brother and our neighbor. So I was very, very lucky, but also very worried. What is going to happen now? How I'm going to manage the whole thing? Because it's not easy to break these bonds, especially when you are for a long time somewhere and when you show that you are an important person. I crossed myself and I went back down to the monastery of Black River, and I asked the deputy of the abbot of Monastery of Black River to give me a ride to Kosovo, to Monastery of Gračanica, where Bishop Artemius was at that time. So we gave him a call and he told us, yes, I am here. Please, Arsenije, come if you have something to talk. Of course, I didn't tell him by the phone what is the issue that I would like to express. So I went there and he received me very kindly, and he told me, okay, my child, tell me, what is it all about? And I said, Your Eminence, the story is this. And I told him everything about my life. Of course, he knew, because he was my spiritual guide. And he knew that I always inclined towards mental prayer, towards contemplative life, towards solitude and things like this. And when I finished, he was silent for a while, and he told me, you know, Father Arsenije, I was waiting for something like this. I just didn't know when it is going to happen. I know you. I see that you are ripe for this, and you have my blessing. At that moment, I think there are only few moments in my life that I was so excited and happy. And I said, Your Eminence, my spiritual father, Bishop Artemius, thank you, and thank the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave me blessing through you, my spiritual guide, to continue my monastic life in a now higher level, in a different way. So he told me, now you have to tell this to your abbot Theodosius, and then when you finish with him, move. Finally, you have to leave Dečani, you have to move to Monastery Black River, and there, with the help of Brotherhood of Black River, you start building your little house. So that's how it all happened, and I was out of myself, out of great, I don't really have words to express my gratitude and my excitement about the whole thing. So now, as I said, after first wave of this excitement and happiness, now the real life came back, the real problems, and that was how I'm going to settle this with my abbot. So I finally went back, went to a monastery, Visoki Dečani. I gave out all those books that I have bought in Belgrade, and then I went back to, I took blessing from abbot, but of course I didn't tell him anything yet, and I went back to my monastic cell, and I started to pray fervently. I prayed, I think, the biggest part of the night, keeping vigil, praying with tears and with all strength of my being, praying to the Lord to give me the way, because I was convinced it is not going to go easy with my abbot, because I know him. He was a very good man, very, very practical man, good guide, but somehow he didn't like to lose the sheep from his flock. So finally, the next day came, the D-Day for me. So I went there and I said, Father Abbot, do you have a little time for an important talk for me, with me? He said, yes, Arsenije, come, we'll talk. And then when I started to express and to present to him the whole idea, he changed. I have to admit, he changed, and he was not satisfied at all. As a matter of fact, he became very angry. He said, what do you think, Arsenius, to leave just like that? No matter that you acquired blessing from Bishop, you should have told this to me first. I'm your abbot. But he was not right. Under the monastic rules, your spiritual father is the first one who you should address for anything. He was my abbot, but not spiritual father. And I said, Father, please forgive me, but you know how it is. Bishop Eltemios is our spiritual father, our guide, and I was supposed to tell him this first. And then now, with his blessing, with his permission, with his agreement, I'm telling this to you. This is such a great urge for me and in me to do this that it is absolutely impossible for me not to accomplish this. So he said, he didn't want to talk more about this. He said, go now. I don't want to talk about this. So I was pretty much upset, of course. Not because that he's going to stop what I planned, but just because on the first place he was my brother in Christ. He was my abbot, and he was even younger than me. He was very, very, very serious and very mature person and monk. But still, he was 3 years younger than I was. But I had really a great respect for him. And I was upset because I didn't want to leave and to go in such a bad mood, you know, and such a bad temper. So I didn't feel well. But like it was always with him. He was kind of impulsive person, but very good person. And he would always react first like that, and then he would think it over. So after the third day after this conversation, he came by himself to my cell. As a matter of fact, to the house where I used to live, where there was a painting studio and my cell. And he said, Arsenios, I thought it over and over. And I came to the conclusion. It is definitely your way. I know you. I was thinking a little bit that it will be sad for all of us, for you to leave us. But it is your way. I know. You're always inclined towards contemplative life. And tell me, how do you plan to manage the whole thing? It's not going to be easy to you. And I said, well, Father, what to tell you? I have a blessing to move to Black River and to start building the house, to find masons, to find material. And he said, how are you going to finance this? I said, well, I know some people from my civilian life in Belgrade. So I will ask for some loans, and then I will repay this painting my icons and selling icons. And said, he was listening to me, watching me, and then when I finished, he said, listen, Arsenio, you are not going to beg from anybody. You are our brother. We used to live together. We used to go through nice and hard moments. We will give you enough to finish what you plan. So it was such a great change of the whole situation that I was so grateful to the Lord that he was so watching the whole thing and that he gave me his love and his blessing, his godly blessing, and he even changed the heart of my abbot, who not only gave his consent, but he only told me that he will give me enough money to build this house. Welcome to our radio show, The Way, The Truth, The Life. So, the whole thing was basically over in terms of bringing decision what is going to be in my further life. So the time for my departure finally came, and we were in the Great Lent, which we keep before the Easter. So it was 2005, the spring 2005, and of course I waited for Easter to come, to celebrate it in love with my brotherhood, with my brothers that I used to live for 12 years. We went through the war and many nice and terrible things, and when you live together with somebody like that, in such situations, you become so closely bonded, and the spiritual bond was the strongest. So it was sad for all of us, but I spoke to every one of them personally. I went and visited every one of them in their private cells, and I stayed for 10-15 minutes with every one of them, and I told them, brother, you have to know, I am not leaving you. I'm not leaving this monastery of my monastic tonsure because of anything else except of my great desire to go and to live in the hermitage, in the desert. I'm not going to another monastery, or thank God I'm not going back to the world or anything like that. I'm just changing the way of life from common life towards secluded, solitary life. So we kissed each other, and finally I packed my things, my personal things, my books, and a certain amount of my art tools, paintings, pigments, whatever was important for me to start over there, because this was my main obedience in the monastery of Visoki Dečani, to be an iconographer. So finally we left. There was a brother of mine, Father Andrei, who gave me a ride from Kosovo to monastery of Black River, and then we bid farewell to each other, and finally I stayed in my new home, monastery of Black River. I went back straight next day, climbed up the mountain and went to visit my friends, hermits, and with great joy I told them that I finally received the blessing from both bishop and the abbot, and they were sincerely happy about the whole thing, and they told me, welcome, welcome in our mountain, in our green wilderness. And I told them then that now I have to start looking for masons and the whole preparation for building a house, and that we will see each other from time to time, because it was the spring was just started, and that I should work very quickly and very seriously to finish the house before the winter, because winters over there are pretty harsh with a lot of snow, and I was planning to move before the winter, which was, of course, not realistic, but that was my plan at that moment. So finally I went back, and in the monastery of Black River down there, I have received a cell for me. At that time, that was a pretty not small brotherhood for Serbian conditions, for Serbian monastic conditions. It was a monastery of 23, I think, members, which was good enough. And most of them were well-versed in physical work. They knew how to build, how to work masonry with wood, with bricks and mortar, and working all kinds of stuff. So it was very good for me, because we don't have to hire workers. We just needed masons who knew the work. And the simple workers were our brotherhood. So I went to a nearby town and met a few masons who were very well experienced in things like this. And they used to work up there in the mountains, in the monastery of Black River. So, but before that, it was on the top of that hill, and it was a great question. How are we going to transport the material up there in order to build the house? Because it was just a little forest path through the forest between the woods, and it looked like a goat path for a donkey at the best. And I said, how are we going to manage this? Because the other monk, the other hermit who used to live on the other top of the other hill, he was building literally, he built his house literally, although his hut was much smaller than the one I planned to make. His house was really very, very small. I mean, extremely small. I couldn't live in something like, it was like a cave. But he did it with a horse, of course. In my case, it was impossible. And the leader of the brothers who were given me as a workers, he was very well versed in those things. And he told me, you see, Father, we are going to make a road here. And through this road, by this road, we will manage to go with by tractor up there and to transport all the material. I said, Father Vissarion, his name was Vissarion. What do you mean? Where is going tractor to go through here? He said, do not worry. So the first thing to do was to make a road. To make a road from the foot of this hill up to that top over there. And distance was about, let's say, about 100 meters. 100 meters, but very steep hill. And for my opinion, with no room for that. But he said, do not worry. We are people, we are kids from villages. And we used to work these things all our life. And since I was a city boy, I just couldn't imagine what they're going to do. So we started. I was there with them. We used to go after the church service in the morning. We would come there about 9 o'clock. So what was his plan? First, we had to cut down these big, immense trunks, these forest woods, and then to clear this path towards this platform up there on the top of the hill. And with these trunks, to make a support on the other side of the bank and to dig the right-hand side of this hill to support, to put these trunks on the one side and to fill this with stones and earth this way to make a road. So I just couldn't imagine how are they going to do this. But after a couple of days, I have realized that they're really making and cutting in the mountain a real road where the tractor is going to be able to go up there and that the main problem is going to be solved. Because I plan to make a house 8 meters by 5 meters, which is not small. And a lot of material was supposed to be taken up there. And all the way to the foot of this hill, it was clear. There was this road that the tractor could go. But this last distance of this 100 meters through the forest was absolutely impossible for tractor, for any vehicle, just for donkeys. So finally, in about 15 days, I was amazed. I was amazed to see those young monks, what they did. It was a very solid, hard and good made road, this 100 meters. And finally, after 15 days, there was an opening of the road and we put a load. We loaded the tractor to see how it reacts. And one of the brothers sat in the basket in the front because it was so steep that some weight was definitely needed. It was must to be on the front of the tractor. Otherwise, he would, like a horse, just jump up and just flip back. So that's why the tractor was supposed to be loaded not only at the back, but also in the front. So this way, and it was a four-wheel drive. So finally, the opening was perfectly successful, and with a lot of joy and hand clapping and shouting and expressing our joy, the tractor climbed up on the platform where the house was meant to be built. So it was a great success and the victory over this forest and this steep hill. And I really remember fondly this period of my life, living up there in the mountains, forgetting the whole world, the cities and craziness in the cities, working there in this beautiful, intact, pure nature with my brothers in Christ, monks and novices from the monastery of Black River. And finally, when the road was finished, now we started to, we brought, of course. I had a friend from Kosovo, he was an architect, so we sat down and we made a plan. I told him what I need, actually, and of course my need was very modest. So he made a very nice sketch, very nice draft for a house with a wooden balcony. It was made out of stone and bricks, and from outside it was a combination of stone and white mortar. So the masons came, and the brotherhood started very quickly to load and to bring and to transport the material, everything that we need for the building of the house. So it was really beautiful. It was with a lot of joy and prayer and mutual love. We were working together. And I remember myself how weak I was. Because for about 14 years before that, I used to live in a common monastic life in the monasteries. And I was fasting and I was keeping ascetical feats, very harsh. And I was very skinny and very physically weak. So Only then I have realized how weak I am, watching those young, strong monks, how they were working. They were very robust and strong and working hard. And I tried to work a little bit, and then I would just pant and breathing hard, and just I had to sit down and to sweat. But they said, "Oh, Father, you pray for us. You pray for us and we will work." I said, "Okay, that's what I can. I can do that. That's what I can." And it was beautiful, those moments for lunch in nature, eating our modest food, our modest meal, and then going back to the work. So it was really beautiful to see how this house was emerging from just a construction, from nothing, from this just construction site. And slowly the house was appearing over there. And finally, after about, I think about 6 or 7 months, we were working hard every day. Of course, not during the Sundays and church feast days, as we called a red letter. It is called a red letter in our church calendar, where we have church feast days that we are not supposed to work on that days. And at that days, we are supposed to be still, to pray, and to give ourselves for spiritual work. And we went deep into the autumn, and not only autumn, but into the winter. It already became a little bit dangerous to work. But finally, with God's help, we finished the house. And it was really beautiful. The only thing that we didn't manage to work, it was a balcony. It was a pretty big balcony made out of pine wood. This was planned for next spring. So since the house was finished by the beginning of winter, it was not very easy for me to move in. So I went back to the monastery. The lower monastery was altitude of 900 meters of Black River, to live there during the winter. And in the meantime, we managed to finish inner works in the house, the floors and the furniture and the electricity. Although up there in the mountains, of course, there was no electricity and there is no water work. There is no city water. But what we did, right next to the house, there was this part of the hill, because the house was dug into the hill, and the cellar was partly into the hill. And some 3 or 4 meters higher than the house, we made a reservoir for the rain, for the rainwater. And there was a plastic tank, containing 1,500 liters of water. And it was built around with stones. And from that plastic tank, there was a pipe, of course, through the ground, and going right into the house. So the pressure was so good that it looked like it was a city waterwork. It was a city water, and not just natural pressure from the different altitude of the house. So that was all that we were working during the winter inside the water pipes. In terms of electricity, I of course didn't need any kind of devices, domestic devices, the refrigerator or whatever. I just had, of course, wooden stove, and I had a stove for gas, working on gas. But I need electricity for light, so I bought one of those solar cells, one solar cell, and it was working on 12 volts, so there was an accumulator, a car accumulator in the cellar, and from accumulator there was a wire up in the house, going up to the cellar, up to the attic, and from the attic we put the light bulbs all over. So I had on solar energy, lightning, in the house, 12 volts, like in the car, and it was good enough for me. So I have to say, maybe the happiest man in this world. Somebody would say it is something morbid, something pathological, to go and to live alone with animals, with winds and rains and lightnings and thunders, to live alone up there. This guy must be crazy or some kind of psychopathic maniac or whatever. But for me, it was the most important and most happy part of my life, because I was so longing, I was so craving for contemplative life, monastic life, and for inner mental prayer. And no matter how well is organized a common life monastery, you could never achieve this kind and that level of mental prayer, like, except if you live in the wilderness, in the secluded and isolated place in the solitude. So I was looking forward now to move in, and I couldn't do that this winter because everything in the house was still wet and it had to dry out, not to dry up. So from time to time I was going up there, burning the woods in my stove and heating the house, and I would stay for a day or two, but then I would go back down in the monastery again and waiting impatiently, I must say. I was not patient, I was very impatient to finally to move when the spring comes, to move into my new hermitage and my new house with plans to stay there and to leave my bones there, just to be there and to die there. But of course, on the one hand, there was this excitement and joy about the whole thing. But on the other, I must admit, was deep worry. How I'm going to manage this? Am I really able to live as a hermit, which is the most difficult way of monastic life? Am I really called for this way of life, or it was just my imagination, my fantasy? Many, many, many thoughts were fighting me, disturbing me through this winter that I was staying in the monastery of Black River, waiting for me to move there. And very, very many nights I couldn't sleep, having combat, spiritual combat with evil spirits who were attacking me sternly, trying to make to change my mind and not to go up there. And this combat started even before I went and up there. How strong and great was that fight and combat and all those wars with invisible evil spirits. They started to fight me and to war with me even before I moved in, with a lot of mental attacks that I'm not going to be able to do this, that it was not a God's will. I forced this blessing from my bishop that I should have never done something like this, that there I'm going to die over there. I'm going to just nothing else but disaster. And it was so hard a period for me. I was strongly fighting and refused those thoughts. But I have realized that I went into the very, very strong and hard war. Of course, I was worried how I'm going to manage. But on the other hand, I knew that it was the blessing of my bishop, and at the same time, and through this blessing, it was a blessing of the very God. And I said, O Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, you who called me to leave the world and to follow you, to follow your steps through the Gospels and through monastic life, and who brought me into the monastery almost 15 years ago, now give me strength, help me. Help me even more now when I so radically changed my monastic life and going into the solitude, into the eremitic way of life. Give me strength. Give me your powerful hand. Protect me from these demoniacal assaults. And give me strength to go through and to be the real spiritual warrior and to manage to stay and not to be ashamed in front of you, in front of people, in front of angels, and in front of the face of the demons who are attacking me so severely. Please help me, and by my side, I will give my best. I wish you all the best, the love, the hope and the faith. Goodbye. Thank you for listening Radio Svetigora, the radio station of the Serbian Orthodox Church, Diocese of Montenegro and the Seaside. Blessed by His High Eminence, Metropolitan Amfilohije.